75 and sunny in Daytona, by the way.
Why can't we go live from there?
I don't know. Let's work that out. Let's work that out.
That sounds like a much better deal. For those of you that didn't know either of us, let's do a brief introduction. As you know, you've already heard, Dave Schwartz, that's me. I work over at Care 11, a sports anchor and reporter on the weekends and during the weeks. You may have seen me. Maybe you haven't, so now you're hearing me. And if you've done both, then I'm sorry. And you're going to get a lot of me today, especially on a Sunday.
I'm just from down the hall. I never leave. I'm here all the time.
She sleeps here. It's true.
So I had to let Dave in this morning, and he was standing outside freezing like a little puppy. I let him in the door.
I was a little cold and shaking off. I was surprised you were already here, and I really actually did think that you just had a cot here and slept here.
Yeah, I do.
It's cheaper rent
that
way,
right?
It's a secret. It is cheaper rent that way.
Yeah, I've been here for a while.
Well, if you haven't heard so far, this morning there's a new article coming out. It is from Bleacher Report, and that is that Adrian Peterson says something that we all kind of already knew, that he would like to be traded to the Dallas Cowboys. I would first want to make sure that we understand, and this is something I always say about this, that you have to always understand what the source is of an article. And Bleacher Report, although it is a very good resource, they have great writers, they have amazing access, and they certainly know what they're doing, that when it comes to a place like Bleacher Report, it's different than one of our newspapers in town, an ESPN, one of our local television stations, is that they base a lot of what they're doing on clicks. They want to get you on their website.
Yeah.
And they do that by posting articles like this, which is they had one of their guys who said that he talked to a quote-unquote high-level executive saying that Adrian Peterson wants to be traded to the Dallas Cowboys, which, as you said first thing when I told you this morning, Jill, this is not news. We've known about this forever.
I mean, we all kind of gathered that from the what he said in his statements a couple of days ago, and I think we all expected this. I don't think it's a surprise at all.
It isn't a surprise. I mean, Adrian said this week that he is uneasy about coming back to the Vikings. The Vikings have said they want him back. Everybody on the Vikings said they want him back, which to me, when everybody has one viewpoint on an NFL franchise, and you have to understand the NFL, and you probably know, it's a very secretive deal. They don't let a lot of information out. They let information out that they want to be out. And so when Rick Spielman and Kevin Warren and Mike Zimmer and all these guys say they want Adrian Peterson back, they have a spot back for Adrian Peterson, which, come on, that's really a shock. He's the best running back in the game.
Right.
Of course they
absolutely
want him back.
Absolutely.
But when everybody says this, to me, all of a sudden my flag went up. My red flag went up. I'm like, wait a second. Adrian Peterson comes out after saying he's uneasy. Rick Spielman, Kevin Warren, everyone else said, well, we want him back. So to me, what that tells me is they're trying to get the best deal for Adrian Peterson. Because let's be honest, if you think that Adrian Peterson isn't coming back and you want to trade him, the best thing to do is to try and up his value by saying you want him. I mean, if they were on a phone call with Jerry Jones last week and Jerry Jones said, okay, I'm going to offer you this guy, and $18 million to boot, what do you think Jerry Jones is offering after Adrian Peterson comes out and says, I don't really know? It's like a bag of chips and some whiskey. I mean, the offer goes down
right,
a lot.
Right.
And so Rick Spielman is a smart guy. He knows how to play the game of information and misinformation in the draft. He's done it before. He knows how to do it in free agency. And so what I think they're trying to do was up his value to try to get the best deal, whether it be from the Cowboys or anybody else. Now, whether they're going to trade him to the Cowboys, that's a different story. Whether the Cowboys have enough, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like they do to make this deal happen. And now also, they're saying that Spielman and the Vikings say they don't want it. There's no way they're going to trade him to the Cowboys. That's what they're going to try to say.
So they're saying a flat no right now. They're not trading him to the Cowboys.
It's always a no until you get the right deal. That's kind of how it works.
Until the money is there.
Until the money is there. And we were looking a little bit this morning. So Adrian Peterson's salary is about $14 million per year against the cap hit. The Vikings have some money to play with if they want to try to make a deal. The problem is Dallas doesn't have enough to make the salaries match up. It's so hard in the NFL to get the salaries to match up. If you're thinking about DeMarco Murray, good luck. He wants to be a free agent. Whether they franchise him or not, he didn't make anything last year because he was on his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making maybe $750,000 or something. We say that's nothing.
Oh, Dave, if only we could be broadcasting from Daytona if we had
right.
that money.
$743 million was his average last year. He's in the final year of his $2.9 million deal. DeMarco Murray was the best running back in the league last year and got paid like one of the lowest. So if they decided to franchise him, Dallas has the option of either trying to franchise him or try to franchise Dez Bryant. That's kind of what's going on down there. Probably they're going to go for Dez Bryant because this is a passing league. So both Murray and Adrian Peterson, they're not going to get swapped for each other, and they both have the same problem, which is in the NFL, the running back is a devalued position.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for Adrian Peterson, and even if he does stay with the Vikings, I really highly doubt that it's going to be at $14 million for this next year. They're going to try to restructure. Now, whether he wants to restructure, he can say no, and then they're going to try to trade him, but he's not going to get 14.3, I don't think, with any other team in the league, although
nowhere.
He's fantastic.
You don't think he would get that anywhere?
I just really don't. I have a lot of trouble thinking that anyone, as great as he is going to pay him the same amount when most teams are probably going to pay him. Let's just say, let's go on the high end and say, I think 7 might be the most he's going to get.
Really?
7 or 8. Now, I may be crazy, but when you look at what everybody made, when you look at what running backs made last year, you look at who do you think the best running back in the league last year? Marshawn Lynch. But mm-hmm. Let's just say it was him. Although statistically it was probably DeMarco Murray, but one of the most impactful running backs in the league last year was Marshawn Lynch. $8.5 million.
That's what he made.
So, Matt Forte in Chicago made 9.2, and he didn't have near the deal. So LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson are both at the top.
Wow.
I would be shocked if he made what he made again this year.
Now that you say it, putting it into, the numbers and everything like that, now I can see why you said that. Why was he, and again, this may be just
yep.
me not knowing, why was he paid so much to begin with?
At the time when he got his contract, I think they thought, if I'm remembering correctly, a couple of years ago, that he got less than what he could, that he took less. So, yeah, I mean, that was, so when he signed his contract, and I'm gonna try to get the details right, I may not remember him correctly, but it was the same time around when Chris Johnson, who was with the, Tennessee Titans at the time, got a big contract. And so, in the NFL, it's always about money, but when you're making a gazillion dollars a year, it's about respect. So you wanna make sure you're getting paid the same amount as the other guy, or more, who's playing the same position and putting up the same kind of stats. So Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, they had gotten paid around the same time. So
okay.
That's why he got such a big deal. And listen, he's been, since he came into the league in 2006, 2007, he's been the best running back. I mean, he almost broke Eric Dicker. He was 9 yards short of breaking the all-time season
yeah.
record. He held, or I believe still holds, the single game rushing record. I was at the game. I mean, the guy is incredible. With what he does,
mm-hmm.
It's just
undoubtedly
amazing.
He is.
And so for a long time, but the league changes, and that's what it comes down to. It's becoming more of a passing league. This franchise is turning towards Teddy Bridgewater's franchise, and they've said that a number of times. So it's, and I read an article online, and it's made a great point about, you could say it about anybody. Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch are all phenomenal players who would play the wrong position to get paid now in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
And that's the way it goes. Now, I mean, I'm not crying for him when he has to settle for $7
yeah,
million.
No, I won't shed a tear either.
How do you feed your kids?
Oh, no, let's not go back. Let's not go back there. Oh, yeah, no, I'll take 7. I guess.
Would you settle?
I would settle.
The other thing that I have trouble with the whole Adrian Peterson deal is he said, and I don't necessarily think we have to get all the way into whether he should be back or not. I mean, what Adrian Peterson did, and everybody knows
yeah.
at this point what he did. It was terrible. Whether he should be allowed to play again, that's everyone's own opinion. We can delve into another time. But he said he didn't think the Vikings were supportive of him, which I found very interesting.
Yeah. I know when I read that, I was like, what?
They reinstated you the Monday after.
And he also said that there were people that weren't supportive of him inside the organization. And I mean, who?
Yeah. And
where is that coming from?
Exactly. And that's one of those secrets we'll never hear. But exactly. Where is that coming from? They reinstated you until the sponsors said there no way, and the league had to step in. So you can't do this. You got to sit him down. And of course, as always, the media gets blamed. He says the media in Minnesota turned on him and said things. And the quote was, media in Minnesota took the head of the situation with my child. They were digging into things that weren't even relevant. That wasn't people in Texas. It was people in Minnesota that dug in and brought things out. Well, the problem is it was a radio station in Texas, in Houston, that published his pictures first. It was not a Minnesota station that did it. It was not a Minnesota radio, TV. The first station to do it was a station in Houston, Texas. Again, what all this says to me, and there's nothing wrong with it, is that he wants a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to leave here. Yeah. He wants to get away from all this, and he wants a fresh start. I don't necessarily blame him for that. He wants to go away. He wants to go to Texas, which, frankly, I've lived in the South. My wife is from the South. If there is any state in the union that's going to be accepting of Adrian Peterson with his baggage and what he did this season, it's Texas, folks.
Yeah.
Anything goes in Texas.
It's a different place. It is a different place.
And, it is.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Texas. I actually had an interview down there in Houston a number of years ago.
I've been to Texas. I've spent time in Texas.
Houston.
We have
Houston.
A problem. Let's just leave it there, shall we?
Yeah,
Texas is Texas.
Well, yeah. That's all, yeah.
But they're going to accept him. And down there, it's perfectly acceptable. It's somewhat acceptable. And you can argue back and forth. But if he wants a fresh start, that's where he's going to go. So that, I would say that closes the book on the Adrian Peterson situation, but we're not even close. I think we literally started and opened another chapter.
Yes.
Today with the Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
Deal.
It's just going to keep going.
We have, as are we, Gil, we have so much more in this show. Coming up next, we are going to talk with Jim Craig, the goalie for the Miracle on Ice team. We will also play in a couple of minutes, Know Your Enemy. How well do you know the Dallas Stars? Do you know them better than me? Probably. I don't know them very well, but we would like to find out if you know them. So give us a call, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. If you want to play Know Your Enemy, we'll do that in a little while. But coming up next, we're going to chat with Jim Craig from the Miracle on Ice team. Coming up right next on The Ticket. It has been 35 years since the Miracle on Ice in Lake Placid, Team USA's big victory over the Russians, 1980. Jim Craig was the goalie on that team, and it is a distinct pleasure to have you with us now. Jim, first of all, thank you for taking the time for being with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Looking forward to speaking to all the fans in Minneapolis area. It should be great.
As I said, it's been 35 years since your big victory, but there is still so much interest about this win. There have been movies made about it. There have been specials made about it every year. Why do you think that this game in particular, historically, has had so much staying power?
Well, I think any time that you represent your country and you're an underdog and you're in the middle of a Cold War between, you know, the Russians and the United States, but really over, you know, democracy, over communism, that it takes on a special effect. And, you know, in the legs of it is because it was something that's been really positive, and you know, it's gone from generation to generation. Now with the movie Miracle, the young kids today get to watch it. But I guess the best way I would describe it is that when you hear that chant, USA, USA, that was a bunch of Americans figuring out a way to be proud for their country and at the same time give energy to our team. Yeah. And it really represents pride in a way for fans to show appreciation and give support to athletes in every venue. So it's really a cool thing.
It was such a great moment, and I think one that all of you on that team will it's a moment that obviously you can never forget. And I know that there was a time you and a lot of guys didn't necessarily want to continue to relive that moment over and over and over and be known as kind of a one-trick pony. Over the years, you and the rest have also done more speaking. I know you do motivational speeches now in which you talk about that win. What changed for you in the way you remember that and the way you wanted to go about your life from that win?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, every year you have a different appreciation as you get older, and you have different what I call chapters of your life. You know, we were young single guys who were in the prime of our hockey careers. So after we won such a great event, we certainly couldn't enjoy it because we had other things to do and, you know, try to accomplish. And then as you get older, you get married, you have children, and your children get to hear about it and see about it. And, I think the 30-30 special ESPN just did was really great because it really showed how hard the Russians worked. And her vision was for us to be the best conditioned team. So you can imagine how hard we worked in a very short period of time. So I think the way I want to remember this is a great group of guys who had great leadership. We had a coach that had a vision, cared about his players, and our players, all the guys on the team, figured out how to do their job, and we trusted one another and believed in one another, and we did something special.
He was not exactly the easiest coach to play for. Certainly people in Minnesota understand that. His philosophy of hate me, love each other has been replicated over the years. He really was an innovator. And even at the time, he was thought of as an innovator, correct?
Oh, he's so way ahead of his time. But he really cared about each and every one of his players. He had a way to pull greatness out of all of them, hold them accountable, and make them want and made them believe. So that's, you know, I think everybody who's had a good, you know, when they had school, had a teacher that was really hard years later, really appreciated them. I just think I appreciated him right from the get-go.
We know what the moment was like. We've seen it on television. We've heard the calls of it, and it was obviously a moment in time that's never be forgotten. What were the following days and weeks and months like for you and the other members of that team?
Well, I can't speak to the other members because basically once we got to the White House, we dispersed, which was the saddest day that I can remember. You know, we're at the White House, and all of a sudden the press secretary, Jody Powell, is calling out different flight numbers, and all of a sudden you see these guys that you've been with, you know, for close to a year, just get up, and you know you might not see them for a long time. You'll definitely not see them the same way. And so that was very difficult. And for myself, it was just a whirlwind because, you know, I had my first NHL game. I did a Coke commercial. I was on the cover of SI. And it was really hard to focus. And, you know, playing as much and conditioning as much as we did, you know, we all really needed some time off to reflect. But we didn't get that, you know. And, you know, yeah, I think it's been a pretty fast pace that now is in a manageable slowdown situation where we can really go this weekend and enjoy one another's company and feel good about something we accomplished, which we really never were given permission to do.
What are what festivities are planned? I know the team's back together in Lake Placid this weekend. What will you guys be doing?
Well, my daughter is a Division I college hockey player at Colgate, so I'm going to be a little late Saturday. I'm going to watch her last game as a college career, which will be very, very sad.
Ooh, that will be tough. Good for her, though.
Yeah. I think the greatest thing about what our guys were able to accomplish was it really inspired a nation to really embrace the sport. And you look at the young women that play now, my daughter included, and you see the sports, an Olympic sport, and you see how good these women athletes have become and all these Division I schools having programs. And you see the pond hockey and you see the adults out there. So that, you know, that's what I'm really proud of is that our team was able to, you know, capture a moment and then make sure that moment was sustained and made sure that it was protected. And so the legacy lives on because they're a great group of guys.
And it really brought hockey. I mean, I grew up in New York around that time. I was born in 1979, but I remember hockey being so much bigger after, you know, the youth leagues. They've always talked about how much more people signed up, how many more kids signed up after that victory. Jim, you brought up the Olympics, and I'm curious what your thought is on this, that Over the past couple of Olympics, especially last year, there was a lot of talk about not bringing back the professionals and going back to amateurs again. Obviously, your team was the pinnacle of amateur Olympic athletics. Are you in favor of bringing back amateurs? Do you like having the pros there? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think what happens is you had a chance to have the best athletes in the world compete, which was great. And we've seen that. But I think they could create their own venue, the World Championships, and they could put it on a schedule that's probably more conducive to their working careers.
Jim, awesome. Thank you very much. Great to have him on.
Totally starstruck, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Totally.
It's easy not to, by the way.
Well,
how awesome is that?
He's the way he speaks, everything. I mean, the guy is... He's unbelievable.
He's hockey royalty.
He is hockey royalty, and I'm such a hockey geek that this is just like, I mean, me just like, what do I say here?
To be fair, we both were pretty geeked
out.
That. Jim is at, they're actually doing a really cool, in Lake Placid this weekend. They have most of the team members back, just about everybody back. They did some cool stuff last night. They're going to do some more, really neat things today. It's.
I know they were going to do a nice tribute to Suter too.
Yeah, so. Bob Suter, who passed away earlier this year. I had a chance to meet him twice actually when we were getting ready to go to Sochi last year before the Olympics for me. Ah. And just a great guy. Super proud of his dad. It was so interesting to me though that it was super proud of his son. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It was really kind of cool. His gold medal was kept, and Ryan told me this. Ryan Suter, his son, a defenseman for the Wild. The gold medal was in like his sock drawer.
What?
Now listen, if I won a gold medal, I'd be wearing it for the
every
rest of
day.
My life, right?
Every day.
Like Flavor Flav, around my neck, going to the store. How you doing, by the way? Have you met my gold medal?
Yep, exactly.
Especially 1980.
You would, yes.
So it's in his sock drawer. It just stays there. The grandkids or his kids could basically like take it out, take it to school, and then they'd, you know, to show it off, and they'd bring it back. And
He let them take it to school?
Yeah. For him, it was about the memories. It was about... Yeah. The honor of it all, the medal signified all that.
Right.
But, and I also think that Jim made a point in that interview that he talked about bringing the amateurs back. And I'm strongly in favor of that.
I am as well.
I just think it's time. Listen, when you watch curling and you get behind these people who are complete rock stars who we've never heard of before in our lives.
Right.
You don't need star power to be a star at the Olympics.
No, you don't.
You don't need to. And frankly, it's more fun when they're not, when they're normal people. And I met a lot of great people on the U.S. Olympic curling team who became rock stars. Chris Plies, John Schuster from the men's side, and Jessica Schultz from the women's side. And they're so incredibly popular that you have a guy like Chris Plies who's friends with Vernon Davis of the San Francisco 49ers because he was an honorary captain of the curling team.
I know it is, and I think that it would be great to have that back. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about NHLers at all. I'm not saying that. It's just I think it's a different beast altogether.
It is,
and I think it would be a lot of fun to see some of this talent that we don't get to see all the time.
You're going to get more passion. Because the NHL guys, as great as they are, and I will tell you firsthand, they were upset when they lost, when they didn't win it all last year. But they have other things to worry about. When you're making millions upon millions of dollars at your day job in the States, you know, kind of like you and I.
Totally.
Going for an outside gig is just not the same, even if it's the Olympics. And there is pride in playing for your country, and they have it.
Yes.
But you can't help
saying that,
but listen to all the other people who are saying, hey, be careful over there. Don't get hurt. You know, you don't want to as if a GM or an owner, and you're seeing your best player. Could you imagine?
Get on an airplane to Sochi.
Right? Could you imagine how nervous Chuck Fletcher was for the month that Ryan Suter and Zach Parise were over there?
That would have been a very uncomfortable
And all
month.
It takes is one hit. Takes is one bad hit, one bad twist or anything.
Yep. I know.
And they are hurt. And they don't, you don't want that. You don't want that to happen. You don't want that to tarnish the Olympics or tarnish the NHL. And I just think it's better, as Jim said, to have it go back to the amateurs again, and let's really get excited about hockey's future
yes.
at the Olympics.
Yes.
I think that would be cool.
I absolutely agree with you.
We have more to come here on the Benchwarmers. Coming up next, we will play Know Your Enemy, a fun little game that we have we invented it? I guess we invented it.
I guess.
We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, we didn't invent it. It was someone else's idea.
Totally.
The Wild play the Dallas Stars coming up this evening. So we will see just how much we know about the Dallas Stars. That's coming up next. This is the Benchwarmers on 105, The Ticket. Welcome back, everybody. Minnesota Wild play the Dallas Stars tonight. By the way, Minnesota is 1 point out. I cannot believe that they're 1 point out. Should be a great game. 7 o'clock start tonight at the XL Energy Center. But just how much do we know about the Dallas Stars?
Hopefully you're going to know something.
I hope so. Time to play Know Your Enemy.
On the phone is we have Aaron. Aaron, are you there? Aaron? Aaron?
Aaron Zippus, right here.
What's
yes.
up, Aaron?
Found him.
There you go.
How well do are you a big hockey fan, Aaron? Are you a big hockey guy?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big hockey fan.
All right. Well, we're going to – Jill has come up with some very, very difficult questions for you and I. They are impossible.
I did not make them difficult. These are things that you may know off of the top of your head. They're not too difficult. I didn't want to make it something that you had to look up.
I'm not cheating, by the way. I'm not going to look at
no,
my computer.
No, you put that computer screen down.
I'll cover it. There we go.
There, okay. Spells, he's covering his computer screen.
This is like Celebrity Jeopardy for us with hockey. Spell.
Amateur Celebrity Jeopardy.
Spell Spezza.
Ooh, S-P-E-Z-A.
Was that one of them? Sorry.
No, it's not. Okay, we will go to the first question, and when either of you knows the answer, say your name first, and then the answer to the question. Okay? Right. Everybody on the same page?
Yes.
We're good.
Yep.
First question. This player is the only player on the Stars roster that is from Minnesota. Who is it?
Oh, that's a good one. Only player on the Stars roster from Minnesota. Oh, Dave.
Dave.
Alex Goligoski?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
He is. He is from Grand Rapids,
Woo.
Minnesota.
All right.
Dave on the board. Come on.
I don't know where that one came from, man.
Okay, Dave won. All right. Question number two. This player currently leads the Dallas Stars in points with 59. Who is it?
Aaron.
Aaron.
Tyler Seguin.
It is Tyler Seguin.
Oh,
good job. One for Aaron. Next question.
By the way, you can play at home, too, if you want to scream at your radio. We won't hear you, but it'll be fun. You know, go ahead.
It could be. It would be. That'd be what I'd be doing. But I get angry, and then I start throwing things, so that never usually goes very well.
Not at the radio.
I don't like breaking things, and that's what happens. So, all right, question number three. So far, we are tied on Know Your Enemy. This is a very easy question, I think. These two Dallas Stars players are brothers. Who are they?
Aaron. Jamie and Jordy Benn.
There you go.
Jamie and Jordy Benn.
Aaron takes the lead.
I was thinking Sedin, but they play in Vancouver.
Yeah, that's
obviously.
You're just a little off there.
A little to the left.
Just a little bit. This next one might be a little bit harder. It's kind of a out there question. Not so much. It is related to the team, but okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the name of the arena where the Dallas Stars play?
Dave. American Airlines Arena.
Did you say American?
America.
America.
America Airlines Arena.
American Airlines Center, but I will give you.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Whew.
So we're tied.
We are tied. The
tiebreaker.
Aaron, are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
All right. I'll give you both a second to prepare. Final question. What year did the Dallas Stars win the Stanley Cup?
Aaron. 2003?
No, I'm sorry.
So is this like The Price is Right? If I go like 2004 and it's over and I win, or am I?
Did they win it? Now I'm questioning even my answers to my questions.
Was it Dave?
Dave.
I want to go 90s. Was it like 1996?
No.
1997. Do I get a second guess?
I don't have another question. We're going to have to end it on 99.
Was it 99?
99.
Wow.
Did you have it? Was that what you were going to say next? Aaron?
No, I wasn't.
Dang
I was going to say 2000.
Well, I was going to give it to you. Anyway.
When were you born, Aaron? Yeah. What year were you born?
I was born in 97.
Oh, so. See, there you go. That's
oh,
why.
Oh, you were just a puppy.
I feel so old. Aaron, yeah, thanks. Good job, buddy.
Thank you so much for calling. I wish we had something to give you. Dave, what about your sweatshirt? Can you give him your sweatshirt?
It's yours. I just wait till after the show, though, because it's cold.
You win Dave's sweatshirt. Thanks so much for calling, Aaron. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and go wild.
All right. Yep. Wow, that was... First of all, he was born in 97.
I know. Let's not go. Let's just take a deep breath, collectively take a deep breath, and pretend he said 77.
Minnesota Wild do play the Dallas Stars tonight, by the way.
7 o'clock start.
7 o'clock start. You can watch it on NBC Sports Network. Can I do that?
I think so. National game.
Yeah. It's a national on NBC Sports Network.
Now, we're going to have a little problem. Doc, I love him. I adore Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Maguire.
He'll be here.
Oh, jeez.
Now, what don't you like about Pierre Maguire?
Well, he talks about the guys going through puberty. I'm sorry, but that's crossing a line.
A little creepy.
He's very creepy.
He's a nice guy. He knows hockey very well.
See, he does know hockey, but I just get a little concerned when he starts talking about them going through puberty. I just don't think that's a very...
Who's he talking about going through puberty?
This was a couple of years ago.
It's the NHL. Hasn't guys gone through puberty already?
Yes, they have, but I think he was talking... You know how he likes to delve into where they were born, when they first put on a pair of skates, what they had for dinner, you know, all that, where they're sleeping tonight, all of that stuff. So somewhere along the way, he was talking about them going through puberty. This was a couple of years ago that I heard him talk about that, and I
TMI.
Just, very much so.
You're saying TMI on the puberty talk.
I can imagine that the guys probably wouldn't appreciate that either.
The guys, I don't know how, he knows hockey pretty well. He's a genius.
If he would just wrangle it in a little bit.
So the Wild have won, listen, the Wild are 8-1-1 in their last 10 games.
8-1-1. I thought they were now 10-1-1.
Are they 10-1? This says 8-1-1. NHL.com says 8-1-1. Are they 10-1-1? Maybe this isn't updated. Am I looking at the wrong year? Either way, what an amazing stretch this team has gone on. And
a lot of people want
to say it's all Devan Dubnyk.
I will say he's definitely a factor.
He's been great.
Because they've played better in front of him. I think they have more confidence in him. So they're playing better, and they're not constantly worrying about goals going in all the time. You know, he is the final line of defense, and he is doing a very good job.
Well, and confidence is a huge deal. I mean, when your defensemen don't have to worry every time something's going on net, it's going to score. Like you said, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you this: if you're the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, and you now have to figure out whether, because Devan Dubnyk he's a free agent at the end of the year. You have Darcy Kuemper, who's still under contract, and you have Nick Backstrom as well, who's making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, Backstrom's money is going to be wasted either way.
Right.
So I think it's a matter of if they figure out, do they want to keep him? Do they want to hang on to him for that extra year? Or is there something that they can do? I don't know if there is even.
Well, I don't think you can, I'm not totally 100% on what when you amnesty somebody.
Yeah.
They did that a couple of years ago with Tom Gilbert, the defenseman. I don't know that he's a candidate for that. I suppose you could, he wants to restructure his deal. I don't know what any of that, what the incentive is for him unless he just wants to play another year.
Well, do you think anybody would even want to pick him up at this point?
No, but in his defense, if he says no, he just gets to keep his
money one way or the other. Right.
So they can either, you know, they can release him or they can just keep him on roster and keep his money. I mean, obviously going forward, although I shudder to say this, I think going forward, it's Darcy Kuemper and Devan Dubnyk, but going forward, there's still a belief in that franchise that Darcy Kuemper is the future.
The up and coming. I think that he hasn't had many opportunities to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's missing a certain element of a solid veteran goaltender that could help him.
Here's what worries me. That he has been great at times and very awful at times.
I know.
And Devan Dubnyk, as good as he's been, if you look at his career stats.
I know.
He's not going to keep this up.
No,
there's just no way.
I mean, he's playing phenomenally right now.
He's playing great.
It's awesome. But I mean, it won't stay this way. I think we all kind of know that.
Right.
Right now we're having fun because this is a rare little streak that they're on right now.
And so then what do you do? So then you have a guy who you're not sure what he's going to do and another guy you're not sure who's going to do.
But
and
that's
you're
the same situation that they've been in now for the past 2-3 years.
Right.
So it's been that goaltending situation has been a question mark at the end of every season.
It's so hard to find a franchise goaltender in the NHL. It's darn near impossible unless you draft him.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And so, you know, what are they going to do? Do you ride along with Dubnyk and Kemper and hope that Kemper turns into the guy that you think he's going to be? And then what happens to Dubnyk? Or I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's a really, and I will give credit to Chuck Fletcher because he literally walked himself right into this situation knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know this is going to be the situation, but if we're going to win, our window's closing. The window to win a Stanley Cup in the NHL does not last long, and it's closing fast, and he saw his opportunity. He's going to go for it.
He had to reach, and he did. And I think that he made a good move. I wish he would have done it sooner with Dubnyk.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, there as far as if this team is even going to make the playoffs right now, I know it's an if.
It's an if, but it's a maybe.
But the possibility is there. And if they continue to play the way that they have been playing, and they've been playing well in spite of the injuries and everything, which is something that is awesome to see from them.
Mm-hmm.
If they can continue, I think they will make it. It'll be close, but I think they will.
With a lot of time left, I mean, they still have, what, 20-some-odd games left to go?
Yeah, they still got time.
And they have 1 point. San Jose and Calgary are both in front of them with, in Los Angeles.
Yep, Los Angeles.
All in front of
them. They won last night.
With 60. In Los Angeles, by the way, white breezers,
oh,
really?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a Kings fan, but they were hideous.
Did you see Daryl Sutter in the Letterman's jacket with white?
I did.
That was fantastic. He looked like he was a guy who was 50 years late for the prom.
I know. I love him.
Where's my date? She hasn't shown up yet. All right. We'll talk more. We have a couple more minutes to go here. Last couple segments of the Benchwarmers. We will, we have a lot more to talk about. So stick around. Benchwarmers 105, The Ticket. Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the Benchwarmers. We will take you right up, hopefully, to the NASCAR pre-race show at 11 o'clock. NASCAR, the Daytona 500 is today.
57th running of the Daytona
500. 57th running. We'll talk about NASCAR and the Daytona 500 to finish off the show. But if you hadn't heard yet, if you've been under a rock this week, Kevin Garnett's coming back.
Woo!
Kevin Garnett and Torrey Hunter are now back playing sports in the Twin Cities.
I know. This is just, I mean, flashbacks all over the place.
Do you have a Kevin Garnett jersey?
No, I don't. I will fully admit, as I told you when I was trying to think of a player that I'd want back in basketball for the Timberwolves, I will admit it, I do not know enough about basketball to even be able to make that. Own a jersey. To be fair,
they haven't made the playoffs since he left, so I don't think you're the only person that has kind of lost some touch with the Timberwolves.
Well, for me, it was always hockey.
Yeah.
With my mother being Canadian and growing up,
I didn't know your mother was Canadian.
Yeah.
We just met each other a week ago, by the way. That's probably important too.
We're brand new.
We've just met each other.
Yes.
So Jerry, it's Jill, sorry. See, we just met.
Did you just call me Jerry?
It's because we just met.
Yeah, Bob.
It got us thinking of all the players that we'd want, of all the sports. If you could bring one player, dead or alive, back to play for one of your teams again, who would it be? I put this out on Twitter this week. We got a lot of really great responses. So, Joe, who would you bring back to what team if you had the chance?
Well, since we're getting a little closer to spring training going on, just started that up. We'll go baseball. Minnesota Twins, I know it's probably a very typical answer, but Kirby Puckett, absolutely. Yeah. That
you can't
would be
go
awesome.
Wrong. I mean,
no,
was,
you can't. He was amazing.
He was the heart and soul of every Twins team he played on.
Yes.
I never had the chance to interview him or meet him, which is always a little bit sad. He's one of the guys I would have liked to have met.
Yeah, he would have been amazing to meet. I know. I agree. Who's yours?
I have a tie for two. I kind of cheated. You have another one too, though, right?
So I do.
So who's your other one? Because I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, you had one and you got two. Thanks.
We'll go back to the Minnesota Wild and I'll go Wes Walls.
Wallsy.
He's
a good dude.
He just, that play, and it's just something that is hard to replicate and that they haven't really found. since.
He also another guy who carries a lot of passion.
He's
a coach now too.
Yeah, I read that.
And he his players love him, but man, he runs a tight ship.
Well,
that's the way
it should. You know what? If I were a coach,
you were a coach.
I've run a tight ship as well. I'd be hated a lot. Even more so than now.
That's kind of how it goes if you're a coach, right?
Yeah. You have to be the bad guy.
Perfectly into the two. I thought of two. My first would be, and it's someone I never got to meet, but really would have liked to. I would like to see Herb Brooks. I want Herb Brooks to come back and coach again. I don't know where. Frankly, I don't care where he coaches or what he coaches. I want to meet Herb Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Never had the chance to be able to think outside the box like he did at a time where no one else was really thinking that way. And Jim Craig alluded to that a little bit earlier, that it was a everybody hates me and they'll love each other mentality.
Yeah.
And it's so revolutionary. At the time it was. And it's been, you know, people have tried to replicate it since then. Not everybody has, but it was just such an amazing way of thinking. And I would have loved to have met him and picked his brain on so many different things. But I'd love to see him coach again.
Yeah, it would be amazing. And I think that, too, there's a line where you can be a jerk, but have massive amounts of respect. You know, people will have massive amounts of respect for you for what you've done. And then there's just being a jerk. I mean, there's a difference. And he was the one with massive amounts of respect.
And he dealt with egos. I mean, could you imagine him on a professional roster dealing with the egos? I mean, could you imagine if he coached in Winnipeg? He dealt with the Kane and Bufflin issue? That wouldn't have happened.
No.
It's just so interesting to me as how he would have played out years later. Certainly missed. My other would have been baseball, Minnesota Twins. He didn't play here a long time, only 2 years, but I would have asked Jim Thome.
I want
Jim Thome back.
Yeah.
I loved how every time he got up to the plate, it was instant excitement. You knew one of two things was going to happen. Either he was going to strike out epically or hit a moonshot out of target field.
Yeah.
And that's just how great he was. And what people don't know, or maybe people, not everybody knows, is that Jim Thome is probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet as far as professional athletes and maybe even in person.
Really?
Every time, and I remember it, every time a visiting team that he played for would come to town, there would be a huge gaggle of reporters from the other market, beat reporters for baseball. And they would all he would be holding court. I used to joke with him. I was like, he could run for office in any city that he played in and win by a landslide.
Everybody just
enamored
with him.
He knew everybody's name, answered everybody's question. The beat reporters from the other cities would come in. He'd say, "Hi, Joe, how you doing?" And sit there and chat with him. And he was he's that kind of guy. He's just loves playing baseball, loves what he does, and treats everybody with respect. It was so
much
fun.
Awesome.
I'd love to cover him again.
I would play, now that you say that, I mean, well, and I watching him play, you knew that it was what's going to happen here, whatever it's going to be awesome.
Yep, he was awesome.
And he would be great to have back. Yeah. All right, so we talk about the Daytona?
We got Daytona coming up.
Daytona.
The 500. Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch.
Neither one of them will be there.
Yeah, neither one are going to be racing today. Kurt Busch, he's suspended indefinitely, had two hearings yesterday, both of them appeals yesterday. Both of those were denied. So Reagan Smith will be driving his car today. And then Kyle Busch, he got hurt yesterday, a broken leg and a foot in the Xfinity Series race. So he will not be racing today. Also, let's see, Daytona, I was telling you about this earlier, where the safer barriers, they put them in place at a lot of the tracks.
Right.
Daytona does not have it yet. They are currently going through $400 million worth of renovations. I think they started it, was it last year, maybe the year before? It's supposed to be completed in 2016. I'm fairly certain that the safer barrier has to be a part of the renovations.
Isn't it interesting, though, because if I'm correct, that's the same place that
Dale Earnhardt died. Yes.
And I mean, I would have thought that would have been one of the first things they would have done.
I know.
To the track.
I agree. And Jimmy Johnson had tweeted yesterday just saying, I can't believe that not all of the tracks have this safer barrier. It's the steel. It's a mix of steel and foam. It's a energy reduction barrier.
Yeah.
So that is definitely something that they need to.
Especially when you're going 200.
Yeah, you're going at a pretty good clip.
Miles per hour.
Yeah, going into that wall is going to hurt.
I don't know how. I've been to NASCAR races. I don't know how you could ever do that. I would be so nervous the whole time, white knuckle driving, and
it's crazy.
And what do you have to? What if you have to go to the bathroom?
Just let it go.
That always that has always been my question. You have to sit in that car for however many hours. I mean, you know, you have to drink because you're sweating the whole time.
Yeah, maybe otherwise you'll be dehydrated. I mean, I know that there a lot of them end up dehydrated at the end of a race.
Yeah.
Just because they are sweating. I mean, it's so hot in there, and they have
just
the fire suit on. Such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Frozen. I've watched it many times. That is what you're talking about, right?
You're
No, we're not talking about Frozen.
I was talking about Dumb and Dumber.
Well, that's good because I don't want to start singing Let It Go. Now you know where my mind is.
Yes, I do. Well, you have children, so that's understandable. No, yeah, my mindset is still back being, you know, 15.
And so. I'm singing Let It Go from... For Elsa.
Frozen, yeah.
Elsa sang Let It Go.
You go ahead and sing, Dave. You go ahead and sing.
I don't think we have enough time for that, too, thankfully. Kurt Busch not racing today.
Kyle Busch not racing.
Interesting, though, that Kurt Busch not racing. We talked about this pretty quickly. I know we don't have a lot of time. But not charged with anything as far as in a court at this point. But he is still being held out because of domestic violence. Very interesting, the domino effect, and I think a positive one from the Ray Rice situation now, that when this kind of thing, it's happened in the NHL as well with one of the guys from the Kings who was involved. He hasn't played yet. A good step, I think, for professional sports.
I do too. I think it's sending the message like that they're not going to get away with anything they think that they can get away with. Because I mean, a lot of these athletes, they've been handed, you know, I mean, they've been coddled.
Yeah.
So they just don't... Their actions haven't had serious consequences. So now they're holding them accountable and making sure that, yeah, there are consequences to you doing this.
It's a very fine line because while you want to hold people accountable for what they're doing, you have to make sure you're maintaining, within the rights of the law, the CBA, if they have them, although the NASCAR does not have a union.
No.
So it's a little different, but you want to punish and you want to send the message. And, it looks like sports teams and sports franchises are starting to finally do that.
Yeah. And this, what he got, I mean, that's a pretty serious message to be sent because if you do not race in every single race of the season, you aren't qualified for Sprint Cup. So he's essentially done. You know, I mean, Kyle Busch, he's hurt and can't race tomorrow. He has to get special permission from Sprint Cup to be able to still be considered to the final, you know, they do the chase for the cup.
I'm okay with it. It's easy for me to say, though. I'm not involved in it, so.
Yeah, right?
Hey, it's been a fun first show.
It has.
We've enjoyed it.
Hopefully hating us.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to tune back in next Sunday at the exact same time, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Our thanks to Jim Craig joining us today from Lake Placid. He's now at Lake Placid, so a fun interview for that. Again, 35th anniversary of Team USA's win at the 1980 Olympics. That's going to do it for the Bench Warmers this week. Make sure you tune in next week, 10 a.m. Again, we'll have a great show for you. That's it for this show. This is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.